When we think about the buyer's profit and loss adjustment sheet here on 3.9, you're going to find that what we're going to do now is we're going to build back into the company different perks and benefits, because we're going to try to find out what it's really making. Because right now it shows $50,000 and it's paying tax on $50,000. And over the years, what we have found, because we have had the opportunity in our program to own a lot of companies, we've also had the opportunity to analyze a lot of companies for our own purchase, and also analyze companies for the tens of thousands of graduates of our programs. So we've analyzed hundreds of thousands of businesses over the years. And our average that we have found, and again, it's not scientific, but based on our studies over the years, we have found when a business is paying tax on $50,000, we usually find another $100,000 to $150,000 of perks and benefits that the owner of the business is taking. Now, what percentage are legitimate? We haven't tried to keep track of that. I'm sure IRS has. What we've looked at it is from a total standpoint. In other words, this money is really profit of the business. Some of it is taken as tax benefit. Other, they're cheating on. And is there cheating going on? Yes. I'm not going to hide it. If you want to go talk to Internal Revenue is going to tell you that's why they have so many agents, because of the games people are playing. One thing I'd like to mention at this time, for those of you that are going to go out and consider playing games on taxes, I've been working in this area for a long time, and not in taxes, but in the buying and selling of businesses. It always makes me laugh, because the average person I run into is Mickey Mousing on their taxes, and as we go through it, and again, we're not tax experts, we find that they have missed write-offs that are equal to or greater. And what they do is they spend many, many hours every year trying to cheat on their taxes, and we keep trying to tell them, why don't you get a good CPA or a good tax advisor, spend the money. Not only will you get many times the money back that you spent on that tax advisor, but the amount of write-off you get legitimately is more than you're cheating on now, which means everything you're doing is stupid. It's counterproductive. It's negative. But again, do it your way. Eventually, you'll come around to my thinking. We keep trying to tell you can make more money business honestly than you can dishonestly, and what you should do is quit wasting all your energy on all these other Mickey Mouse schemes and scams. As we start to think about the buyer's profit and loss adjustment sheet, we're going to start at the top with $50,000 net. We're going to take the $50,000, where the figure is, off the bottom of the profit and loss statement, and then we're going to add and subtract things as we go along to see what number we end up with. So we're going to have positive adjustments, we're going to have negative adjustments. And then we're going to find out how much profit's available, truly available in this business. One of the first things you're going to run into is the owner. The owner is pulling out so much. And when you get involved in analyzing businesses as an agent, or if you're going to do this as a buyer, you have to get it down to the point where the thing makes sense. For those of you that are selling your business, you have to do the same thing. Because if your business only shows $50,000 net, and if it's truly making $150,000 or $200,000, and you don't present this in the right manner to the other party, you're not getting the right price or value for your company. You're selling it for a lot less, because your business does make a lot more than the profit loss shows. Now, as we start to go through this, the first thing we have is the owner. If we look at 3.7, if we go down and look under salary of officers, it says $80,000. And you're going to find the owner then is pulling out $80,000 from this business. The owner's paying himself $80,000. So under owner, we put $80,000. And let me explain what we're doing right here. First of all, when you get involved in businesses like sole proprietorships, which we have here, you're going to find in this business that what we have is an owner running his or her own business. In this example right here, this business shows $50,000 bottom line net, but that's after the owner has pulled out how much for themselves? $80,000. As you go down the street and pull out the same size business, you're going to find another business owner down the street showing $50,000 net after they've paid themselves $20,000. On the other hand, you're going to find one on the other end that's paying themselves $150,000 a year for a salary and still shows $50,000. And as you analyze this, you're going to find that one of the owners is pulling out $20,000 plus the $50,000 shows total what in those two categories? $70,000. The one in this example right here that's pulling out $80,000 plus $50,000, that's $130,000. And if you look at another type business we mentioned where the owner's pulling out $100,000 plus the $80,000, that's $180,000. And what I'm going to try to show you here now is you have to compare apples and apples. What you have to do is you have to sit down and try to figure out how much the owner's making, A, and you push that back in. You push back in the $80,000. We're then later going to back out what a manager's salary is. Now, why do we back out the manager's salary? We would like to get every business for analysis purposes down to the point where what we're looking at is what is the bottom line net after we push back in all the owner's perks and benefits, legitimate and not legitimate, and then subtract out what a manager's salary is. This way, you can compare apples and apples. It is a clean business, free of what the owner does, and it has a manager built in. Whether the manager is there or not doesn't make any difference. If you don't do it that way, you're never going to be able to figure out whether one business is better or not as good as the other business. So let's bring them back to one basic level. It'll also help you find out what they're really making. Now, this owner is pulling out $80,000. You say, well, is that a standard for a business? There is no standard. And if you don't believe it, talk to Internal Revenue Service. And you're going to find certain businesses that are very small, and the person is basically working at the department level, running a department. That person is paying themselves $150,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year. Is that excessive? I'm not in a position to judge. All I'm saying is this is why IRS has so many auditors, because of problems like this. On the other hand, you're going to find a number of owners that don't pay themselves anything, or pay themselves something less than the minimum wage. Is that fair or legitimate? No, it isn't. And what we're trying to do is get it back to a legitimate level so we can analyze these businesses, put them in the proper order so we can find out where we're going. So what we do is we push back in the $80,000, and where it says owner, we add back in the $80,000. Now, let's come down a couple of lines. We'll go back to talk about the spouse. But if you look under the area where we say deductions from net profit, it says $42,000. So what we're doing is we're pushing back in, or adding back in, the $80,000 the owner did take out last year. We're now going to subtract out what it would cost to replace the owner with a manager. Now, if the manager is already there, you don't have the problem. But let's say right now we have to add back in a manager. How do we find out what the figure is? Now, we're not going to use government averages, because that's what they are, they're averages, and you're going to find they are too far off to analyze a business. So what we normally do is we will pick three or four business owners in the community, call them, and find out what the going rate is for that type business. Yes, we're talking about our competitors. Don't tell me you can't get the information. You can. And what you do basically is you take the average. You may find one was 38,000 something, another one was 42, the other one was 44. And as you take the average of these different three or four that you're looking at, you find the average, including payroll taxes and other benefits, came to $42,000, which is great. It's going to cost you $42,000. Now, for those of you agents, attorneys, CPAs that are representing clients, you just don't call people and change the numbers. What you have to do as you call these different people, I would suggest that you get their name, you document the time you called them, and make up a letter that has, like, dictating a letter to your file. And the reason we're doing that is to document that we made the call, so that if something goes wrong, we have to go to court, we can tell the judge that we at least did it semi-scientifically, as opposed to just plucking it out of the air. If you do it this way, you're going to have a pretty good number. You're going to have a number that's pretty accurate. Let's go back up and talk about the spouse now, because the spouse also gets involved. And again, a lot of you think of a wife, but we also know a lot of business owners that happen to be women, and their husbands are involved. It might be a boyfriend or girlfriend, but again, another member of the family or another friend. And what we have quite often in business, you'll have the main party running the business, and they're paying themselves very well. And then when you get down to the second level, a spouse, you find they're usually not paid or paid very little. And a lot of times they're keeping the books. They're doing something along that line. They're not being paid. When you then, as a buyer, come in to take over this business, you may have to replace the spouse with somebody making $25,000 or $30,000 a year. And when you do that, and you're buying a business making $25,000 or $30,000, you've just wiped out the profit. Okay, and you're back at zero. So analyze this and find out where you really are. Are you going to have to replace somebody, and what is it going to cost? In some cases, you may even find the spouse is making more than it's going to cost to replace them. But what you have to do is find out where you are and do it. Does this come up quite often? Well, if you're new in the field and you're about to go out after you listen to this tape program and do it, within 1 week of doing this full time, you're going to find that the spouse problem comes up almost every other time. It comes up quite often. The next area that we have is a thing called relatives. And you're going to find businesses with relatives working in there also. And the relatives are either working for a lot more or a lot less. In all the years I've been doing this, I don't remember one where they're working for exactly what they should have been. Let me give an example we used to use in the class a long time ago. And the reason we used to use it is the fact that display we were talking about. We analyzed this business that was making about $30,000 or $40,000 profit. And as I analyzed it, we noticed that the total payroll is only $8,000. With a total payroll of $8,000, next to it, it said, we have the following number of employees. I believe the number is about 25. Well, if you're not looking for it, you're probably not going to pick it up. But when you think normally $8,000 a year, I don't care what year this is that you're listening to this tape, 25 people and $8,000 isn't much. And what we had was we had a person that was working there part-time. And the other people that we had mentioned on this list were people that were working there for nothing. They were friends, relatives. Most of them were relatives of the owners. The owners were in their mid or late 80s. They were very sick, very old. And the grandkids, nieces and nephews and everybody in the family was working there for nothing. Why? Because grandma and grandpa was in the process of making out the will or changing the will. Why did they work there? They were hoping they'd be favorably mentioned by grandma and grandpa. Incidentally, as we took that business that was showing, again, I don't remember the exact number, say 35, 40,000 net profit, when we built back in the different relatives and just did it at the minimum wage that was in effect at that time, do you realize that business went from almost $40,000 a year net to about $30,000, $40,000 in the red just on that one area? So this is not just a minor thing. It's a major thing. Are you going to run into it quite often? Yes. Are owners going to tell you that they're doing this? No. Because what owners are trying to do when they're working with a broker or working with a buyer, they're trying to tell you all the good news about the business. We call it creative embellishing. What is it also known as? Probably lying. But again, people tend to misrepresent the first couple of times when you're talking to them. And we usually find by the time we've talked to them the third or fourth time, and we've established rapport, we're getting much better answers. We're getting answers that are closer to the truth. It doesn't mean they're liars. What it means is they're trying to sell you something. And in their anxiety, they bend the rules a little. We talked about payroll taxes, and I've built that in already into the manager's salary. Let's go down to auto expense. Under auto expense, what we have is we have an automobile, and the expenses on the profit and loss, if you look under operating expenses, come to what? $12,400. Now, with $12,400 here, what we have is $8,000 that are not legitimate. So we have $8,000 not legitimate of the $12,400. You think of this, well, how does that happen? Well, this is not skimming. In other words, if an owner comes to me and tells me that he has a second or third set of books, the thing always makes me laugh, the average owner doesn't even have a good first set of books. And what we're going to find is they're doing a thing called skimming. And it happens mostly with the small business owners, which means they're not running all the money through the books. As you start to get into the larger businesses above $50,000, very few business owners are doing a thing called skimming. And the reason they're not doing that is there's three or four people working in their accounting department, and if they do go out and start to play games, they have three or four witnesses, which end up with what? Lifetime income. Because you can't afford to get rid of them because they'll turn you into IRS. So the average owner of a business over $50,000 cheats on their expenses. It's not that they're better people, they're just cheating in a different area. And one of the areas they cheat in is auto expense. IRS has very definite rules that have to do with auto expense. And it has to do with what percentage of your car you can use in the business and whether you can tie in every car that you have in the family. And what we find on the average, and it's not that much exaggerated, the average business owner will write off their company car, they'll write off every other car they have, and even though they're not using it 100%, they're writing it off 100%. In fact, they keep teasing about the fact that if they don't have enough cars, they'll make up cars. In this example right here, we do have an example of tax cheating. Well, you can decide for yourself. In this example right here, we have two children working the owner's children. They're going to college. Their expenses come to $8,000 a year on their automobiles. Now, this is not skimming. This is expense Mickey Mouse. And what you're going to find is you or your CPA can go back to the books, and in most cases, the owners will have this isolated. You can actually dig it out. For you, our IRS agents listening, you can do the same thing. You're going to find that they have this excess auto expense. And as you go through it, you're going to find the kids are going to college. The question you should ask is, do they work for the company? No. Since they don't work for the company, is that legitimate? No. Do business owners do this? Yes. And as you start to go out after listening to this tape program, what I'm trying to do on this tape is explain the real world to you. Because as you go out the next week or the next couple of days to look at businesses, what you're going to find is exactly what I'm telling you about. And again, I'm not trying to train you to become a tax cheat. What I'm trying to train you to do is go out and analyze business properly, and if you don't understand what the real world is, you're never going to make it. And you better start to realize you're doing this. And don't be shocked. This doesn't mean that you should be copying or doing the same thing, but don't be shocked at what's going on. For those of you non-believers and don't believe this tape, why don't you sit down with your favorite IRS agent and let them talk to you about the problems they have or read some of their material? Travel and transportation. As you look at the travel and transportation, you're going to find the travel comes to $24,900, about the second item from the bottom under operating expenses. And as you look at 3.9, you're going to find that travel and transportation, the number we have built in is $19,700. What does that mean? That means of the 24,900 of travel, 19,700 is either not legitimate or are expenses that you may not have to get involved in. In this example right here, you're going to find that grandma and grandpa, or mom and pop, that happen to own this business, happen to be doing business in the Far East. Do they have contacts over there? No. Do they buy things over there? No. What do? They document. And you're going to find the normal business owner has the mentality, if I don't get audited, I don't have to worry about it. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but all I'm trying to explain on this tape, and this is a very dangerous area, in a very narrow line I'm trying to walk right here, I have to give you the information, but I don't want you to get the wrong idea. You have to stay away from the tax cheating, or you're going to get in trouble with the IRS. Now, the thing I want you to realize is as you look at this, you're going to find this in a number of businesses. Does this happen quite often? Yes, it does. And that's what IRS looks up at on their audit. But the key thing is documentation. But the key thing from your standpoint in analyzing a business, is it a legitimate expense? Is it an expense that you as the new owner or the person analyzing the business can build back in as part of the profit? It's an expense that's non-recurring. It's an expense that you don't have to have in the business, other than you're looking forward to trips to the Far East and you want IRS or the government to pay for it. But from the basic standpoint, this is not legitimate. It's $19,700, not legitimate. The next category we have here, we're not going to talk about pension and profit sharing. You'll find this coming up. And we find, again, if it's pension and profit sharing for the owner of the business, fine. You can add that as part of the money that that corporation has. Now, keep in mind as you're going through this, and we'll go through this in another section, although these are dollars that are available to add back into this business for evaluation, it doesn't mean that all these dollars will be available to pay loans or to feed you and your kids later. And again, we'll talk about that later as we get to the section on cash flow. The next area we talk about health insurance, and we're talking about a thing called business that's legitimate, and we get in health and life. And you're going to find in this example here, we take the whole $16,600 and add it back in. And the reason for that is there are laws in this country that keep changing from year to year, and it has to do with the form of ownership of the company, whether it's corporation or personal, and also whether the benefit programs you're setting up on health insurance and life insurance are just for you, the owner, or for everyone. And this example right here, in analyzing it, we found out that of all the health and life insurance programs that they were writing off, not one of them was legitimate. Now, I don't want you to get the feeling that you don't want to or don't have to give your employees health benefits or life insurance benefits. The key thing to do is sit down with an insurance broker, an insurance company, find out what's legitimate. Your CPA is going to be able to tell you the same thing. And if you're going to set the thing up, why don't you set the thing up right? But in this example right here, what we have is $16,600, which is an expense of the business that you can add back in. Why? Because the owner has developed his own program. In this example, we have one that's not legitimate tax-wise. Was it a mistake? I don't know. That's up to IRS to figure out, not me. As you start to go down, let's go back and down and finish up the example, and you'll find if you take the $50,000 net, we had a $50,000 net profit. We add that in at the top, from the top, and you'll see on the bottom it says net profit $50,000. Below it, it says additions. If you'll add up all the additions to net profit from our first column there, it comes to $124,300. If you then subtract any deductions you have, in this example it was a manager's salary, son of a gun, you end up with an adjusted net profit available to the new owner of $132,300. Now again, as I told you in the example before, we have found over the years that this is a little below the average, and if you're looking at the average businesses we run into, you would find although it's paying tax on $50,000, there's another $100,000 to $150,000. So the number you'd find under the adjusted net profit would not be only 132. You'd find it be somewhere adjusted, somewhere between 150 and 200,000. Again, is all this available to pay bills and feed your family? No, they aren't. And we'll talk about that later when we get into the section on cash flow.